The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Yeah, you know what time it is. It's time for the Geek Enders Podcast. Mega Ran, Jesse and Dodger, what up? Let's go.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow and see what the Geek Enders are all about.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow. Number one geek podcast without a doubt. Yo, another end of another long week. Got a job and a kid, I know that you're all beat. So take a second, grab a drink and vibe while we catch you up in just a matter of time. On gaming, comics, whatever you're doing. If you're nerdy like us, then you know you should tune in. Thank you for sharing our world with us. Now follow, subscribe, and turn this up.
Yo, it's Come the on. Weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on, scream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow. Number one geek podcast without a doubt.
Hello, everybody, and welcome, to Geek Enders!
Ba-ba-ba.
The first annual Geek Enders video game extravaganza, where we have a plan, and I didn't just make that up right now and put Dodger on the spot. Now, going over to Dodger, our host for the show, Dodger?
Jesse, word is on the street that you almost smooched Yoshi P. Care to comment?
I can't comment on that. I don't kiss and tell. Now back to Dodger. Dodger, what are we talking about? What kind of crazy games? We've contacted so many amazing people to be on the show today.
We have. And unfortunately, they've all said no, but that doesn't stop us.
That's right, because if there's one thing we must do, it's this show every Friday. Because if we don't, you'll complain. That's right.
Wink.
So welcome to the spectacular show that we do.
Indeed. I thought that it would be most effective if I didn't look at all into these fabulous games that are coming out, so that once again, you could just describe them all to me.
Absolutely. And because I, too, did not look into the games that are coming out, whatever I described to you may or may not actually be a game.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. It could be anything.
Jesse, I hear there's a game coming out called Super Frog Fantastic Four. What is that about?
Imagine four normal frogs living on a lily pad in a swamp. And suddenly, cosmic radiation blasts them.
Whoa.
And one frog gets the powers of stretching. And one frog becomes invisible. And one frog catches on fire. And one frog becomes stone. And together, they must battle Froctor Doom, their arch nemesis, a frog covered completely in metal because he's so ugly, but also controls an entire nation. That's right. They elected him a king of the nation, a frog.
What genre is this game?
Whatever the hell you said, the Frogtastic Four. That's what this is.
What genre?
Frogger.
It's a Frogger like. Of course, those are huge right now.
Yeah, it's a Frogger. It's a top down Frogger like where they've got to get across the road.
Okay.
Yep.
To get to Froctor Doom.
To get to Froctor Doom.
Otherwise, they can't fight.
Right.
Okay.
It looks very good. It's retro inspired.
Yeah, it sounds like it. There were a couple of dating sims as well that people were saying I would probably be super into. Did you see any dating sims?
Yes. Oh, there was such a good dating sim that's right up your alley.
Okay, I'm ready.
It's called Call Me Mommy, and it's a dating sim where you play a weak, scrawny man boy who is also
A mommy?
No. He's some sort of anamorphic. He's some sort of anamorphic animal creature.
Okay.
Where he can turn into different animals.
Oh.
And then because of his powers and his crushability, giant big buff mommies who normally would be his nemesis. Like there's one who's like a hot lady, but also a bear, and one that's like a hot lady, but also a shark, and one that is, you know, a hot mommy, but also like another type of bear. And they're all like, grrr, we're going to crush you with our thighs. And then you are like, okay. And that's pretty much the game.
Oh.
There was another dating sim called Appliances. And it's just a bunch of appliances. It's like Brave Little Toaster, but sexual. There's another dating sim that is coming out.
Okay. Yeah.
There's a lot. Apparently it's very easy to make them. There's another dating sim coming out called Multiple Endings, in which every choice is just another ending. So from the moment one, it's only one screen of a game, but there's 8,000 choices of how you can answer. It's very real. Pause. And each one just leads to another ending. Yeah.
Can we workshop the mommies game a little bit?
You mean this very real game that is a real game?
Yeah. Can we workshop the mommies game? So
Sure.
I feel like there's potential here, right? Because like, you're like a creature that can like turn into lots of different animals, and all
you're
of
some sort of were creature. You're a manimal,
right?
Like a weak little manimal boy.
Yeah,
but like a man,
right?
Keep it legal.
Yeah,
and but like you're scrawny. You're basically pre 2020 Krendor, right? Okay. In fact, your character's name is Krendor.
Okay,
and you just look like a little tiny twig man.
So I feel like you could like incorporate a cool, like maybe not quite a Chance of Sonar sort of mechanic here, but like, like you have to figure out what animal type you can become in order to communicate properly with the mommy animal that you're trying to smooch.
Yep. Each mommy needs you to be a different person because everyone's different. And the secret is the animals that they can transform into, like the one mommy who becomes like, she's like a big, thick, like tough broad, right? You know what I'm saying? And she turns
into
this
shark. I feel like this could apply to
both. Bear.
Okay.
She's a polar bear.
Got it.
And then you right there, like what do polar bears love? And you got to figure out what polar bears love.
Hmm.
And maybe the answer is just another polar bear. You know what I mean? Like, maybe. Who knows? You got to figure it out.
You'd have to be really careful with this game, though. Like, it could be problematic so easy.
I don't think so. I don't see it.
No?
No.
Totally fine?
No.
No problems?
Yeah, no. No problems.
Okay.
I don't see any problems.
Cool.
Because it's already real and we didn't make it.
That's
someone
true.
Else made it.
You know what? I don't know why I'm trying to fix a game that's already created and probably perfect.
I see in chat someone said Coca-Cola. That's really funny.
You just become a bottle of Coca-Cola.
And she's like, gulp, gulp, gulp. And you're like, victory.
And it says good end.
And that, friends, is how you make a game. That's it. We did it.
There it is.
That's it.
Professional game producer, Jesse Cox.
You workshop it till something comes together.
Eventually, boom, you're like, this is it. This is the direction we need to go.
Someone smarter and funnier than you comes up with an idea, and then you're like, that's the one. And then you get to take credit for it. It's great. Yeah.
But unfortunately, that can't be us because this game was already made by somebody else. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, we could always make a clone of it, though. That's really big. Just taking we have to wait for it to like do really well first, though.
Yeah, our clone is animals that turn into people.
Oh, there we go. Yeah.
Exact same premise, but you start out as you're a gopher is your character, and you're trying to woo the other animals. But then when you fall in love and it does like the heart, like and like the hearts, they become people, and it's how we would see someone that we fall in love with, but as animal, you know what? It's a process. You'd understand if you played.
Mm. Of course.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Cool. So you didn't watch any of the game shows either.
They don't start till today.
Wasn't there one yesterday?
Was there?
I don't know.
I don't. They start. Game Fest starts at 2 p.m. today. So that's.
Gorilla Collective was yesterday.
Ah, okay. All right.
There was another one last week as well, I think.
I watched the OTK Game Awards or Game Show.
How'd that go?
They really need someone to wrangle them, is what I've learned. I don't know.
I see.
Here's what I'll say. I don't know if the charm of it is supposed to be that it's kind of like freeballing and they can do whatever they want and it can be silly. But they clearly hired Avalee to come in and be the producer and like make it a show. Mm. And there were moments where I was like, okay, this is a show. Avalee's got this, like, they got this handled.
Right.
They have bits, they're doing things. There's also moments where they're just so off script that it's like, someone's gotta, I don't know, but it was a weird show where I 100% the entire time was screaming at the screen because whoever was the director in the booth telling, you know, like on the procaster sitting back there,
yes,
trying to like press, right? Whoever was doing that, I don't think they had a clue what they were doing. I don't think they should have paid that person because there were shots where someone would be playing a game and then someone else was talking, but the camera would be on someone else completely different.
Oh no. For
seconds at it, like just like a person would be sitting here. And you're like, why are they on camera? What is it? There were so many like technical errors. I was losing my mind. There would be parts where they do a bit. So like if we were doing like the end of a show, I was like, thank you so much for tuning into the show. Right? Especially the end of it was so funny. They were like, ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much. This is the OTK Game Awards. And right then I was like, and go to credits. Nothing. Still camera on the stage. Go to credits. Nothing. Still camera on the stage. And they're just like, they start walking off stage. I'm like, go to credits. No credit. They start walking. Like, they're taking photos on the stage. Like, we did it again this year, guys, taking photos. I'm like, go to credits. Go to credits. They just don't do it. Minutes go by, and then it cuts to a group on the couch. And I'm like, so are they not doing credits? Is no one getting credited for this show? What is happening right now? Oh, yeah.
Yikes.
It was that the entire time. I was just, I was like, it's a fine show. The games they showed, although the quality of the games is all over the place, for some reason, the music all slapped. And I was like, okay. So the games that were there were fine. I just think that another great example is they had them every so often play a game on the couch, right? And it's fine because there were some times where I think it was Emmy and S-Fan were playing games that they seemed to get. Like they knew what to do. They were playing it fine. But then some other people playing games where it's very clear they never played the game before or that genre before. And it was like, all right, why did you pick this person? What was the thought process here? What was the, like, if right. I had given you my game to show off and you guys were like, the entire time, I would have been so upset.
Yeah.
And part of me was like, okay, well, maybe this is what their audience likes, and so the people that gave them the games were like, just play it the way you want to play it. And if that's the case, fine. Everyone's audience is different. I imagine the OTK audience is very different from the Jesse Cox audience, right?
Right.
I imagine they skew younger for sure. We've talked about this before. My like biggest demographic is 25 to 34, followed by 34 to 45. My 13 to no one 13 to 18 is like, I'm gonna watch that guy.
Yeah.
So I get it. If it's different, I accept it. But it just seemed like the goal was not to prepare. I was like, that doesn't seem wise.
Way, it'll feel authentic and genuine.
Sure.
But it's a game
and
show.
That's fine.
And it needs a certain amount of polish and structure.
Yeah, it's and then they had, so years ago during COVID, during a basketball game, they had this bit where they invited teachers out on the court to like compete for money okay. so that they could earn teaching supplies, right? And ignoring the fact,
a little dystopian, that, like,
very dystopian, and the whole thing was weird. So they decided to do during their show a hey, we're going to invite three game devs who lost their jobs this year out on stage to pitch themselves to the audience and hopefully get a job. And also, we're going to give them each $1,000. And I was like, this is weird, dude. Like, this is so weird. I was like, whoa, this is, do not do this.
Yeah,
the entire time I was like, please vibes. Don't do this. Yeah, it was weird. And so, like, that was kind of the show. There was a lot of moments of greatness, but also a lot of moments of like, if y'all had thought about this and polished some shit, this would have gone much better.
Sure.
Like, so, you know, here's the problem. It had the exact same vibe as a lot of award shows where you're like, the things I liked, and the things I didn't were atrocious. You know, same thing. Even Jeff Keighley's like, I could show you awards, but instead, here's a 15-minute bit with the Muppets. And you're like,
okay.
Why, bro? Why? So there's, honestly, in the end, there's no difference, but it's also just kind of like very clear. There were a lot of moments where I was like, I don't think they practiced this. Or I don't think they actually, like, they're, yeah, I don't know. But also, I couldn't tell what was trolling.
Mm.
There was one moment where I think it was Soda Pop, and I'm not sure who it was, but someone, they were playing a game that looked like old school Hexen, that had this vibe of like old school Wolfenstein. It's very cool. And the entire time he was like, I wrote down in my notes, this was like Balatro. Again, I don't know if he was trolling or if that was genuinely a thought. But if I was tuning in for the first time and I didn't know these people, I feel like I would be like, I don't think he knows what he's talking about.
Oh, no. Yeah.
I was like, this game is not Balatro. So I don't know.
Hmm. That's too bad.
It was certainly a vibe. But it wasn't bad. It was just all over the place.
Yeah.
And I, the entire time, was just like, I really want to be behind the camera and just direct this, because like, I feel like there's no direction. And I just, it made me, like, my producer brain turned on and I was like, wrangle them, wrangle them. Somebody wrangle them.
Yeah. It also sounds like it wasn't clear what the tone was supposed to be with it. Right. It's like,
sure.
It's like a game. You're like showing off games. But also, OTK is a streamer network, so highlighting the streamers. But yeah. Also, like say that the weird like devs go up and are like, "I lost my job. Here's I'll pitch myself." Right? That was intended to, you know, be a commentary on how there are tons of layoffs happening in the games industry and there are tons of devs.
It clearly was too. Yeah.
Don't have jobs, right? Like, if tonally these things aren't hitting or syncing together, it doesn't work, right? And then people walk away going, that was weird, right? With, unfortunately, you know.
I feel like the unintentional or maybe very intentional awkwardness was the point of the, at least that's what I was getting from it. But there were also moments that I actually genuinely loved. Like, there was one bit, I don't know who was in the outfit, but someone came out as a wizard with a gun.
Okay.
And unintentionally was going full 110%, like, and I was like, I would have kept this in. I love this. This bit is so goofy. I love this.
Mm-hmm.
And that is fine with me. But the weird thing was, is the show opened with Jay the Bard, and I love Jay, doing like a full musical number in a bard outfit. And that my assumption was, oh, this year's theme is it's going to be like a Renaissance fair.
Right.
No, people come out in suits. And I'm like, so why do we open with Jay the Bard in a bard outfit doing a bard song if that's not the point of the show? I was like, I kind of wanted to see everyone be like, hello, my lords.
That
would have been unintentionally awkward and hilarious.
That right? would have been the best way to be like, this is just a goofy, fun time, guys. We just want you to look at our games.
Yes. You know?
Everybody just come out in like poet shirts like, hello. Yeah, that would be
hello,
great.
Hello, my lord. That would be so funny. And they're all dressed up. And the fact that they hate being dressed up would be even more funny. If Avelie was like in charge of that, they just pan the camera to her and she's like, you know, the goof is that she forced him to do it.
Right.
And that's very funny to me. But, you know, well, he is the bard. I mean, I get it. But the man has other clothes, I assume. He could come out, play a song, dressed in other outfit besides looking like a bard.
Right.
I don't know. That's it. The games were fine. The show seemed like we spent a lot of money to be very awkward. I'm like, y'all could make this huge.
Right.
But maybe huge isn't the point. I don't know. I don't have enough information about what the purpose of it is.
Mm.
Right?
Right.
So,
okay. So OTK happened. There's an right. indie game showcase that happened, apparently, which I feel like I probably should have watched. Sorry. I'm so sorry.
Whoa. Big same.
And then there's something happening tonight. Yeah.
Today's the big one. Today is, the Summer Games Fest or Game Fest happens at 2, and then it's sort of like an avalanche of things after that.
Okay.
So at 2 is Game Fest that's like live at the YouTube Theater. I got an invite, and I literally told them I would rather watch it at home because no offense to the good people that put on the award shows and the Game Fest and stuff.
Sure.
But I'd rather watch it at home. Sitting in the crowd, their camera's moving in front of you. You can't see anything.
Every time you go to one of these things, you wind up coming back and being like, well, I couldn't see half of it. And I tried to talk to a couple of people, but they were busy. And then I went home. So it's like,
that's the vibe.
I think there's like a type of person and a certain amount of involvement where it makes sense to go. And otherwise it doesn't really make sense to go, right?
There's a lot of, I think people feel the obligation to go and then kind of see all their buddies in the industry and sort of like, I know a lot of people from various companies who would be there and I would love to see them, right? I would love to be like, hey, it's so nice to see you. But also, I really don't want to have to sit through the show. And I'm like, I would love to see you. I'd love to go have fun. I think living in LA has warped me.
Mm.
There used to be a time where I would go anywhere and do anything with anyone at any point in time. Until I don't know, 13 years in LA has made me be like, you live 2 hours away. I ain't even doing that. I'll see you some other day. You can call me. Like, I'm not driving through this traffic. No. I love you. You're amazing. You live too far away. I'm just not going to do that. I'm not. And that's, it has happened. And so this is like, hey, do I want to drive to downtown LA, find parking in downtown LA, hope my car doesn't get broken into in downtown LA, go to the show, and then like maybe one of y'all gets me crazy sick because some people be dirty. And then, that's it.
This is why they need the Metro going. This is why the Metro needs to be better. Because the few times that I've been able to use that and actually get where I needed to go, I was like, that was so easy. I got to just sit there. But the LA Metro does not go to enough places. It's not interconnected enough. It winds up being such a hassle.
Yeah, I'm going to also say I think COVID warped me a little bit too in the fact that if I go to an event and there's just someone who is obviously sick.
Who's like, my God, I can't.
I look at them like, bruh, did you learn nothing?
Stay
your ass at home. It makes me so upset.
Yeah.
I get so like viscerally mad. I'm like, if I wasn't afraid you'd cough all over me, I'd escort you out myself. I do not like, I'm like, what are you doing here? It's like, well, I said I'd be here. Get your ass in bed and sleep, dum-dum. Yeah, oh, it makes me so mad. So mad.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's why I was like, you know what? I'd rather stay home. And then they sent me a message. Do you want to stream it? I was like, yeah. Yeah, I do.
Yes, sure.
I do want to stream it. So that's what I'll end up doing today. But the I guess it's at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific is Game Fest. And prediction-wise, I don't know. I hope we see some cool indie games. I hope we see some cool stuff. What I want is a, like, secret. I guess it wouldn't be a secret.
Yeah.
Whatever kind of, like, quick drop of the Alan Wake DLC.
Ooh.
I saw a bunch of people from the Alan Wake team are coming to LA. Why are you coming here? What purpose do you have being here? Unless it's to drop the DLC, in which case.
Oh my gosh.
Thank you.
Jesse.
In advance, thank you.
Had a Columbo moment.
I did. Well, why else would they come? Why else are you coming here? It's not a award show. It's like, what are you going to do? You're going to travel from across the ocean to come here for Game Fest? I live 2 hours away and I'm not even doing that. So like,
there's got to be a reason. There's got to be a reason.
Putting the two together. Stealth drop, yeah. And then Day of the Devs is at 4 p.m. And that's going to be like independent games and reveals. Super excited about that. And then, 5, I guess, is Devolver. And it's Volvi's 15th birthday.
Oh, my goodness.
If you don't know who Volvi is, Volvi's this like mascot they made up last year. They sent us to the office here like a bunch of Volvi stuff. And it's just like a little guy, a little Volvi guy. And they're doing, it's Volvi's 15th birthday, apparently, which is very
funny.
Happy
for him.
Yeah, he made it. And then I guess later tonight, there's Future Play Direct, and then Wholesome Direct is tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But tomorrow is Play Days. And so I'll be downtown for that. And that's how you can get me downtown. Say, Jesse, we're going to do Play Days again. Come downtown. Play Days, I've said this before, I'll say it again, is awesome. It's like baby E3, and that it's 2-3 rooms with several games in every room, and it's just everyone I know in the industry just hanging out, and
perfect.
Like, it is so small and cozy and quaint, and you just play the games and I can get in and out. I'm playing over the course of 2 days like 25 games. That's perfect for me. That's it. I'm like, I'm gonna see your games, I'm doing the thing, all right, boom, let's go.
Nah,
very
leave.
Excited. Yep. And I'm playing a lot of games I can't talk about until like, you know, Tuesday or something, like around that time. So I'm playing like a lot of games, a lot of fun games. Very excited.
A lot of fun games that you probably can't tell me about. That's fine.
Can't really talk about till next week.
That's fine.
So yeah, that'll be a thing. But yeah, I don't know. It's I love Play Days. I'm a little over awardy shows and streamy shows and things, but maybe I'm just an old fart who smells of farts, you know?
Sure. Maybe you are.
Maybe I am. Maybe I am.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
We're like,
so wait, what did we miss though?
What did we miss? What do you mean?
The indie game show?
Oh, there was an indie something. Yeah.
The indie game showcase. The Wholesome Direct indie game showcase.
You said Wholesome Direct is tomorrow, though, right?
Right. Uh-oh. Yeah, so what did we just miss?
I don't know.
What did we miss? What did
we
miss?
Yeah, we know Gorilla Showcase was yesterday, but there was Indy 3.
Indy 3 is very cute. I love that. I'm going to look this up. Indy 3. Well, the first thing that shows up is a bike.
Okay.
And that bike looks cool. It's the 2023 Indy 3 by Norco. That's a fine bike. I don't know. Does anyone have a link to the real thing? Was it just Gorilla? Indy E3.
Indy E3, yeah. So I-N-D-I,
with the three and the E.
E3.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Right. Was that, who put that on?
I don't even know. I'm trying to figure out where it even happened, really.
Yeah, I didn't even know it was a thing. So that's showing you where I'm at with this. I wasn't even, no one, usually I get an email or something that's like, hey, things coming up. I did not get nothing on this. But I guess it was a thing.
People are saying it was insanely long. So it's weird that we're having trouble finding it.
I found a YouTube that's Indie E3.
Oh, okay.
But it only has 45 subscribers. So I don't know if this is the right one. Was it like very indie?
Might have been.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of 45, 35 minute segments on here. Games for Impact. There's interviews. Yeah, I don't know. I have no answers for you. Okay, I will accept that it exists. I have no idea what came out of that. The Gorilla Collective Showcase 2024 gave us what exactly? Games from the showcase were Reckless for PC.
Okay.
I don't know what Reckless is. I'm going to just Google it and find out. Reckless is a game that's on Steam coming soon that is a skate build and show. Oh, it's a skateboarding game. And it's cel-shaded, question mark?
Ah.
Where I can play as an alien in overall skateboarding. All right. That is definitely going to find its like groove in the skateboarding genre. Hopefully it will fill a lot of people's Tony Hawk ambitions. But it looks like you can make the skate park, which is fun.
It's ex-Tony Hawk devs.
Well, there you go. That should do it, I think. Then there's the I assume this is Yooka-Laylee? Yooka Replay?
Okay.
Banjo-Kazooie Spiritual Successor. Yooka-Laylee is getting a remaster. I guess that's what that is. Which is like, okay. Yooka Replaylee is what it is.
Perfect.
That's a very cute name. It won't be confusing at all. Then, Crendor is going to love that. Then there's Deathbound. And I feel like I've seen Deathbound before. But I don't know where or how. And I'm not sure what the vibe is. It's a Souls-like. One-of-a-kind party-based Souls-like?
A party-based Souls-like? Ooh.
Single player. But it's a party... Well, how does that... Is there a trailer to this? How does a single player party-based roguelike work? Souls-like work. Roguelike. Dynamically transformed between fallen warriors, all with their own unique set of... Oh, okay. So you're switching between warriors, determining on, like, what the objective is.
Sort of Mass Effect, okay, so Dragon Age style, or like they're doing totally separate things?
I assume you're going through a level and then you're switching between people.
Oh,
through
okay.
the level.
Okay.
Interesting. Chat will correct us if we're wrong on that. Okay. And then there's Volgar the Viking 2. Oh, shit. I love Volgar.
Volgar.
Yo, let's go.
That feels like a million years ago that Volgar the Viking came out. I'm down for a second one, big time.
Hype, yes. Oh, Volgar ruled. Okay, yes, that's awesome.
That game was so rough, but so fun. That's such a hard line to toe.
Awesome. This is what I'll say. Finding out that Volgar 2 is a thing and not knowing Guerrilla Collective was yesterday feels like exactly the weird place we're in this industry where, for a while, everything was E3.
Yeah,
and everything was E3 related, but now it's like there's about a week and a half where everyone's doing their own thing, and they all got their own shows, and we're not really going to tell you about it unless you know about it. So here's hoping word of mouth gets it around. It's weird.
Mm.
Everyone has their own show and their own thing they're doing. They're trying to do their own thing, and it's like, all right, I know that in theory that sounds awesome, but if people don't find out till Dodger and I do a deep dive, I'm going to let you know. I would not have known or not even attempted a deep dive of Guerrilla Collective until right now.
Yeah. It's hard because I guess kind of what you were already saying, but like when E3 started to fall apart, everyone was like, this is how it should be. Everybody should just like showcase their own games, do their own mm-hmm. thing, you know, and not have like a big overblown, you know, like businessy, everybody trades cards sort of thing going on. And now, yeah, we've reached the point. It's kind of like streaming services, right? We've reached the point where it's like, I just wish everything was in one place. Like, we're just never happy. We've gone too far the other direction.
Yep. Yeah, I genuinely wish it was easier to find this stuff because it has that, kind of Steam vibe where about 8 billion games come out a day.
Yeah.
And unless you're successful and already doing well, you're not going to find the game.
Yeah.
And there's so many devs who are like, I spent 6 years of my life on this and no one saw it. And that's a huge issue, but it's also one that I don't know how you fix it, but I know it's not everyone do their own show and then don't tell anyone about your own show.
Right.
I don't know. I feel like the fact that neither of us knew it was yesterday says a lot about promotional stuff.
Mm.
But also they had Knights in Tight Spaces, which was another game that control your environment, gather your party, and build your best deck to overcome outlaws and supernatural forces. What is the art style here? It kind of looks like, character-wise, imagine... I don't know how you would... I guess there's... red, blue, and green people, like colored outlines of characters, knights and archers and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But then they're put into really nicely animated and drawn environments to do battle with cards, I guess. It's a terrible way to describe that, but it looks beautiful. It looks really cool. The design of it's awesome, but yeah, it's a card battler, basically. It's one of those ones where I'm like, I don't know. Knights in Tight Spaces. It looks awesome. Looks cool.
Oh, yeah. There's Volgar.
Then there was Neon Blood, which is a basically cyberpunky pixel adventure where, I mean, it looks cool. It's an RPG. visually pretty, pretty neat.
Stop everything. There's a Rugrats game.
I'm sorry, what?
It's a Rugrats game called Rugrats Adventures in Game Land.
That was a thing they announced?
It's a side-scrolling action adventure retro game. Oh my God. It looks very retro, but like in a good way.
This is so bonkers to me. Steam World Heist 2 is coming. They have I was convinced there's a few games. This list is so long.
Yeah, it's huge.
I assume Kyborg, Disco Samurai, Killing Time Resurrected, Toomba Special Edition, Project Tides, Ascendant.com, Project Haven, Primal Planet, Airborne Empire, Final Knight, Ninja Slayer Neo, Light Odyssey, Fallen Aces, Evil v Evil, Anton Blast, Wizard of Legend 2, Clock Tower Rewind, Past Trauma, Five Nights at Freddy's Into the Pit, Hollow Body, Demon School, Project Z, Beyond Order, The Transylvania Adventure, Simon Quest, Urban, it's still going! Cozy Dungeons, Urban Myth, Double Shake, The Land of the Magnates, Creatures of Ava, Egging On, Motor Slice, The Secret of Crystal Mountain, Little Problems, Day of the Shell, it's still going. Cataclysmo, Grit and Valor, 1949, Kriegsfront Tactics, Star Miner, Chocolate Factory, Rebots, Monterona, Beloved Rapture, Dungeon Crawler, Wild Tactics, it's still going. Sky Oceans, Wings for Hire, Bittersweet Birthday, Escape from, I got an ad popped up. Are you kidding me?
Simon's Quest Escape is getting a remake. I'm so excited.
Aethermancer, Echo Generation, Midnight Edition, The Axis Unseen, Slime Heroes, Dead Link, Elsie, Grifford Academy. There's more! Bloodless, Toxic Crusaders, Devilated, Iron Meat, Beyond the Ice Palace 2, Renane, Immortal Hunters, Pinball Spire, Chainstaff, Storm Edge, Munch, Constant, Somber Echoes. That's so many games that I just wouldn't even have seen until we did this. That's so many games.
Simon's Quest is an homage. It's the subtitle of a spoof. Aw. I was like, I love Simon's Quest.
They showed a lot of games. It was a big montage. That's awesome. No, I'm totally down to be like, yeah, okay, I'm going to go watch that. But it's also just like, I had no idea that was yesterday.
I didn't, yeah, that wasn't even on my radar. So many games for us to have been like, wait, there was a show?
It felt exactly like Steam, where there's just so much out there, and unless you deep dive and look for it, you're not going to find it. And I feel like that should have been blasted everywhere.
I think this upcoming week is another Next Fest.
Yes.
So there's probably...
a lot of demos are available.
Yeah, there's probably going to be a ton of demos for the games that we're seeing that are going to be available to play.
Have you played... let me see if I can... I'm going to direct link you because I would be shocked if you haven't played this game.
Okay, I'm ready.
Have you taken the time to play... let me get this link for you. Copy link address. Drop this in chat. Boom! Whoa, that is a terrible link. Have you played Tiny Glade? Have you played the demo for that?
No.
It is... the most Dodger game that ever Dodgered in the history of gaming. There is
you
no...
linked me to your channel. Oh, I see. I was like, the character looks just like you on the.
I'm sorry about that. I didn't mean for that to happen. I wanted to send the link to the right place, but whoops.
Oh my gosh! It's the build a castle game. Build a glade.
Yeah. It is. Your game 100%.
I've seen trailers.
While playing it the entire time, I was like, Dodger's going to love this. It is, there's no lose condition. I'm not even sure there's a win condition. You are just building a castle or a home or a fort or a town or whatever the hell you want to build. And the way the game works is really brilliant because as you build this structure, you can, like, if I put a window down, I can click the window again, it'll turn the window in a different style of window, right?
Oh, okay.
Very simple, intuitive commands. If, depending on how big I make the walls and the buildings, little props will appear around. So if I make a bunch of plants and then I make the walls go around the plants, maybe on the side of the wall, like some gardening tools will appear. Or it's so cute. And I just kept trying to like, how can I mess with this? How can I change this? And the more I tried to house castle this bad boy, the more it like kept working with me.
That reminds
me. And it kept letting me.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I was going to say, it reminds me a little bit of, did you play Summer House?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
It reminds me a little bit of that, how like there were certain conditions to meet of like items that you could put all together in a cluster or have them all in the same house that would make like a specific person show up or animal show up or something like that. I love that sort of a thing where you get like rewarded for, you know, being sort of creative with what bits you're putting together.
I feel like this is even more relaxed than that, because I played the entire demo and I mean, I was enjoying every minute of it. I saw in chat that someone said the win condition is fulfilling the millennial dream of home ownership. And I'm gonna let you know, I was like, oh my God, I'm gonna build it this way. And I was like, oh, and I can make if I make the walls like this and I do this and I lower, and it's kind of like you can build something that's real.
Yeah.
That people could live in, or you could build ruins, or you could build a giant cat. You can do all. Yeah, it has like, there's some cool stuff in there. And even though it's just a demo, I'm not sure what the final product wound up being. Right. If it's literally just what the demo was, I'd still be happy. It is, I cannot stress this enough. If it's like 5 p.m., you've gotten off a rough day of work, and you're like, you know, I got one of those edibles at home. I'm gonna go eat one of those and build a house. This is a night. This is a night that I guarantee you'll enjoy. It's a joy. I was having a good time.
That's good.
So that,
it looks
that was,
really
that,
cute.
That's a next fest. Mm. Yeah. It's very cute. I've been doing a lot. I've been like downloading demos and getting a lot of stuff for this. I'm very excited. I got the Hollow Body demo. I want to play that. What else did I? Zetzillions is another one that I'm going to check out. There's just a lot of demos and things that are out there. So yeah, shout out to Next Fest demos. They're awesome. I saw someone in my comments the other day being like, I love when you play demos because it's games I've never seen before. I'm like, I believe that is the point. So
yeah.
It's very nice.
It's great. It eliminates that element of like people showing up and feeling like there's a barrier to them being able to also play the game. It's like, mm-hmm. they're all demos. You can just go download them, you know, just go play whatever to your heart's content. So
absolutely. Yeah. Big fan of that. So yeah. Is there anything that you've been playing that you've been doing and during this time of many games?
I started playing a game called Nine Souls, which is it's a Metroidvania, and it's sort of like it's a crossover of, if you really enjoyed Hollow Knight, you'll probably enjoy this game, but the devs are horror devs. They made the game Detention. And so it's very parry-based. If you liked games like Sekiro, where it's like you have to parry in order to succeed, it's like a base mechanic. It's Hollow Knight with lots of parrying and very, very horror game. When you first look at it, you're like, oh, you play a cute little cat man. You're a cute little cat man. That's great.
I was about to say, and I was like, it's a little cat man. I get why Dodger wants to play. I do not see. What do you mean it's horror? Try to explain this to me.
The themes of it, our warning list for this game is so long. It feels like every new area we go to, we have to add onto it. Lots of violence and gore, but lots of body horror, like really psychological elements to it. Very like dystopian. Everybody's doing stuff where you're like, that was not okay. But it's a great game. Oh my gosh. If, you know, check out our warning list. And if if it seems like you'll be fine with it, and you like the aesthetic of it. Oh, also, there's like, because it's a Metroidvania, it has like a hub sort of area that feels very, very Spiritfarer. It like shifts and evolves like as you engage with, you know, the characters in the game and stuff. It's just so good. And the fights are great. I'm having so much fun with this game, but it is consistently horrifying. So
all right, I feel like your definition of horror and what horror is, it might be a little off, because I was looking for like scares, and everything that I've watched, I went through 35 minutes of footage just now, mm-hmm. and I saw like a little cute cat girl, and then I saw a big fat cat, and the fat cat looks awesome, and I love fat cat, and the monsters are like mecha creatures, and when they explode and stuff, it's bloody as hell. But like, I still don't see. I was expecting you're playing through and then jump scare. You know,
it's not a jump scare game. It at all. It's a psychological horror game with lots of body horror in it. The like framework of it is that you are part of a race of like cats who at some point went to Earth and subjugated humans. You took all of the humans, brought them back to your planet, and the humans are, everybody calls them ape men, and they are used for a variety of things, but they don't realize it. They believe that like the cat people are like gods of some sort. There's a lot of like spiritualism in the human communities, lots of ceremony and whatever else, but it's all linked back to like this really messed up stuff that's going on behind the scenes without the humans realizing it. And so we're playing one of those lovely cat people in this like very hardcore science-based community that maybe used to be involved with all of that. So all right, yeah,
I like that.
It's really cool. The setting's really interesting.
Like, you're like, it's horror. And I'm like, that sounds awesome.
Yeah.
That to me, I'm like, that's not
awesome to me too.
Cool.
But there are plenty of scenes in this game that if I just went to somebody and was like, yeah, it's just like a fun, cool horror game, they'd be like, you did not.
Sure.
You didn't make it clear how fucked up this game was, right? So I'm just trying to. Yeah.
And that's all well and good. However, mm-hmm. I would like to talk to you about another cat game.
Okay.
Some might say the greatest cat game.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, of course I'm referring to Cat Quest 3. That's right.
You do
right.
Love the Cat Quests.
I played a demo for Cat Quest 3. It was an unlimited demo, but it sort of kept you in an area. And there was a final boss to beat. And if you beat the final boss, then it would end the demo. Yo, it's pirate themed. Everyone's a pirate. The rats are the pirates. Mm-hmm. And they're like, we're going to get you. And the bad guy is kind of like Bane. And then there's a dude whose name is Patchy, and it's basically patches, and he kicks you in a hole. It's got everything. It's got quests and missions and towns and buried treasure and a pirate ship you can jump into that you can equip the pirate ship with better pirate things to make your pirate ship better. And then just like other Cat Quest games, you can get items that make you look better, but then you can level up those items as well.
Sounds great. Sounds good to me.
If you've never played Cat Quest 1 or 2, you're missing out on life. You're just missing out on the joy of a perfect game. I don't know.
Damn.
Yes. I think Cat Quest comes out at the end of summer. Cat Quest 3 at the end of summer, I think. But I got access to a demo, and it was great, and I was very thrilled by that. And
a public
I'm
demo
so
or no?
I don't know. I went to their Steam page, and it was not there, but it might be there now. Maybe I was special and I got it early because I'm a Cat Quest stan.
They're like, this man Cat Quest. Big fan.
It is. Honestly, I don't know if in Cat Quest 1 you can co-op. I think it's just one player. But Cat Quest 2 is co-opable. And I must stress this. If you have a son or daughter or sister or brother or someone in your family and you want to play a game with them, go play Cat Quest 2. Just do it. It is. It's so much fun. You'll love it. And it's so like it's so simple to play. Literally dodge roll and attack. That's it. And you get cool items and you get like, yeah. Oh, yeah. Just saying. It's lovely. I'm just saying. It's good stuff.
I have another cat game.
Is this? Hold on. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the first annual Cat Show live. Our first category is cat games.
Oh,
our
category.
Our only category
find your
is cat
perfect game.
The perfect cat show.
Here we go. Kit E3.
This is why we workshop.
Pack it
kids.
Up,
this is why we
everybody.
Kit E3, that's it. Welcome to Kit E3.
Welcome to Kit E3, everybody. Your perfect show where the category is, of course, cats. All right. So
meow.
Meow. Mm-hmm. There's a series of like basically hidden object cat games that have come out that have gotten progressively more and more like involved, basically. And the most recent one that came out is called Tower of Cats, I believe. I'm double checking. I think it was, yeah, A Tower Full of Cats. And in it, you are time traveling and going through, you're going up a tower. And as you go higher and higher and higher in the tower, you're going through different eras of time and finding different cats. These games are always super fun. They've got hidden cats. They've got, you know, cats that are out in the open. There's normally like light puzzle elements like, oh, there's more cats through this door, but we can't get in the door yet. And you have to like keep playing to figure out how to get in the door, that sort of a thing. I adore these games. I think that they're so good. This most recent one is just adorable. The developer is called Dev Cats, and their proceeds go toward helping shelter cats, I believe.
Huh. But this look, yeah. I mean, like, it looks beautiful. Here's the thing.
Yes.
I never thought I was a hidden object person or a hidden cat person.
Yes.
Until everyone and their brother said, Jesse, go play Exit 8. Jesse, go. You're going to love it. Go,
oh, it's like Exit 8. Weird. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
They're like, go play it, dude. And everyone in the comments was like, oh, man, it's so hard. It took me like hours to beat. I beat it the first run in 15 minutes. Mm. And then I beat it again immediately afterwards.
It's supposed to be short, isn't it? It's a short game.
Yeah, yeah. But you have to spot different things. If you don't, you get stuck. So I beat it my first try in 15 minutes. And I spent the first three going the wrong direction on purpose to figure out what the puzzle was. Mm-hmm. And then I beat it a second time for twice in 25 minutes. And then I decided to do it a third time, actively trying to fail, and I still beat it. I think I'm a spot the difference genius.
You should play the Dev Cats hidden object cat games. Okay, look, here's the progression, okay? Here's the order that you should play these in. Okay. Building Full of Cats was the first one, and it's lots of different apartments, and all of the apartments are like different, you know, themed to look like different types of people live in them, but they're completely full of cats, okay? So you're finding all of the cats, all right? Very, very cute. Then they were like, let's make it weirder. Then they make Castle Full of Cats, and Castle Full of Cats, there's a story, and the cats are talking to you, and you're trying to like fulfill objectives, but you're also trying to find all the cats, right?
Sure, of course.
They had Arcade Full of Cats, which is very cute, but Tower Full of Cats is the most recent one, and I think is the weirdest one because it's timey-wimey, right? Because it involves time travel, and the cats, you're going through time trying to rescue all of the cats to take them to a new cat planet. It's like, it's a whole thing.
No, of course, yeah.
But they're all great. Huge fan. I think they've managed to take a game where they were like, wouldn't it be cute if you just went into different apartments and clicked cats and have somehow been like, let's add a story. Let's add characters. Let's add puzzle elements, kind of, you know.
So it's just A Tower Full of Cats is the name of the game?
A Tower Full of Cats is the newest one. Building Full of Cats, I think, is the first of the hidden object ones. They've also
A Tower Full of Cats is the weird one, right?
Tower Full of Cats, I think, is the weirdest. Castle Full of Cats, I would say, has like the clearest like story, if that makes sense.
Sure. Mm-hmm. No, I mean, that's what I want. I want that because I need weird to survive. I've discovered that unless you give me weird, so here's a great example. Shamelessly, this past week. Actually, not this past week. It was actually a while ago. But yesterday, I got to show off the Final Fantasy XIV Dawn Trail stuff I got to play. Mm. And everyone else across all of the internet was messing with, like, the new die system or class mechanics or all this different stuff. The only thing that I cared about was the fact that I went to this one area and found four murals. And those murals, I was like, what's the lore here? What do these mean? What is this? That's literally all I care about. Someone I don't remember where it was. It could have been in someone else's chat. Someone said, it's very obvious Jesse only cares about story, and if there's not a story that's compelling to him, he doesn't care about your game. That is 100% correct. I cannot stress this enough.
It's good to know if who you are.
If you ask me to play your game, and your game has no story, 2 minutes in, I'll be bored. If you ask me to play your game, and you gate the story, and it's gated, I'm already out. If you ask me to play your story, and it's like a story-based game, but there's no mystery to it, I'm out. I need my hooks. You gotta hook me. You gotta get me, or else I'll be so bored. It's just who I am. I need a mystery. I need to like solve something. I need some, and that's the gamer I am. And so when they were like, yes, this next expansion will have some mysterious stuff, I was like, good, good.
That's me with
books. I'll allow it.
When I go to read a book, you gotta drop me like in the middle of the shit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If at the start it's like, on a warm winter's day, the sun shone brightly on the scaly back of Sir Slithers the Snake as he enjoyed his morning cup of tea. I'm like, that's so great. I'm bored though. What's Slithers gonna do? Drop me in the action.
Just a great example is Outer Wilds. Everyone's like, dude, play the game. I was so incredibly bored until I got to that one statue that's like,
yeah,
hey, it's about to get weird. And then I was like, okay, I want to see what this is. But until that point, I was like, I don't give a damn about getting to space with these. I don't know any of these people. I don't know why there's like only six people on this planet and they all have banjos. I don't know what's going on. You're telling me I have to learn to do zero G grab? Like, I don't care about this. And then the minute they were like, and now we're getting real weird with it, I was like, okay, all right, I'm in. Let's go. That's all I need. If you want me to play your game, I got to be like, I understand it's literally a tutorial. I can still find tutorials boring. I hate to break it to you. It doesn't matter to me if your game is like, well, guys, it's just a tutorial. Like, yeah, okay, but I can still be bored with it.
Yeah, I did not get very far in that game. That game, yeah, I had a rough time with the beginning, and then it stressed me out so bad. And I'll never play it again. You know what I will do, though? I'll watch other people play it.
Yeah, there was
God bless.
Some game.
I'm so glad we live in the era we do.
There was some game that I think it's by the team that made, oh boy, what are those called? Kingdom, I think. It's the game where you were like in a dome and you were like, oh, it's so good, Jesse, you got to play it. It's like a dome defense thing and you build up this dome. And I was like, okay, I'll give it a shot. I got dome 10 minutes defense? In. I was like, I'm not sure what it was called, but you were talking about how much you loved it. And I was like, okay, I'll give it a shot. And I played it and I was like, yo, I'm sorry to everyone who wanted me to play this. Dome Keeper, is that what it's called?
Is it Dome Keeper? Because I love that game.
Yeah, no, I hate Dome Keeper. I do not like, I got 10 minutes in and was like,
hate Dome Keeper.
I was like, I do not like this game. This game is not for me at all.
Oh, I
like
that.
I was like, oh, this game, yeah. And I was like,
but yeah, the game's got,
if anything,
yeah,
the vibe is you're allowed to love what you love and you're allowed to like what you like and not like what you like. And people were just like, but Dodger loved it. And I was like, yeah, okay. That's cool. Cool for Dodger. This isn't it. There are games that I love that I guarantee Dodger's like, no, I'm all right.
You know what? This is on the same tree. It's not the same thing, but it's on the same tree. You know what I love and hate? I love it because I know that you and I react the same way to this. Okay. When people try to instigate a thing by being like, Jesse did that way faster than you. Like, I bet he did.
I feel like people don't understand that we have figured this out. I don't think you all get this. Our brains clearly operate in two different ways. And when we play a puzzle game together, Dodger will figure out something that I will not understand, and I'll figure out something that Dodger won't understand. But together we're an unstoppable force for good or evil. I prefer evil.
Together we're powerful.
Yeah. And so like, you just got to accept that. I still to this day don't, I have done the puzzle in almost every puzzle game ever. I still don't understand the three jugs. I still don't understand it. I watched Die Hard with a Vengeance and I still don't understand the three jugs. I feel like I should. I've done the puzzle and solved it enough, but I feel like what my solving is I just kept pouring water until eventually it bounces out. I do not get those jugs and I never will.
They're math. They're math, yeah. Jesse. Oh,
sure. Yeah. All right.
Ape together strong. Yes.
Ape
that's
together,
us.
Together strong.
Strong. Mm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Anyways.
Yeah.
I just think that's fun. People don't do it very often, but occasionally. Occasionally, I'll play something after you've already played it, and they'll be like,
"Man, this took Jesse like no time at all."
I'm like, why would you say that? Unless you're hoping that I'll be like,
because they're thinking about me more than you, and I appreciate that in your chat. I appreciate that while watching you, they're thinking like, about you know, me.
They're watching me play a game, and they're like, "You know what this reminds me of? Jesse. I hope he's doing good today."
I like that.
I like that too. There's something sweet about that. Yeah.
Hope he's doing all right. Yeah.
I hope he's having a great day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I it's funny to me because I always forget, you know, what in my mind I think this is what streamers do. You know, like if I go watch a streamer, I go watch different friends who play games. I'm like, oh, this is what they play. This is what they like. Mm. And I often will forget that they're like a more well-rounded person, which is a weird thing to say. But like last night, I was all messed up. I had to upload my Final Fantasy video at 3 a.m. the night before. So my sleep schedule was a mess, but I was like, I got to stay up. I was laying in bed. I was like, all right, I was laying in bed till I fall asleep. It was like 8 p.m. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm so tired. I just got to go to bed. And I'm laying in bed and I put on Octo and I'm like, yo, dude, what's going on? And he's sitting there just doing a just chatting stream at first. And I was like, hey, question. When are you starting the Elden Ring DLC? Because I really want to watch you play that. And he was like, well, I was thinking about doing Final Fantasy 14 tonight. And I was like, I forgot this man played. I was like, oh yeah, he's gotta beat the last expansion before the new expansion comes out.
Yeah.
I was like, oh yeah. But then I was like, but what if you, because then he was like, I don't know what I'm gonna do with Elden Ring. I have a character that's on New Game Plus, but I have a character who just beat the game and I don't know what I want to do. And I was like, I was about to type in. I feel like I have the same mentality as Chad. I was about to type in, what if instead of playing Final Fantasy 14, you just played a new character in Elden Ring and got to the point where you could get to the DLC. And I was like, no, Jesse, no.
Don't do not that. No.
You are friend, not foe. I was like, fine. I guess I'll just sit here and not have Elden Ring. It's very selfish is what I'm saying.
I don't know if you've noticed, but there's a cage in a playpen, I should say.
In
my office. For right. Clark, but also for our new dog, who is adorable. She's very cute.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I have not done puppy cam of this dog. Whenever the dog is in my office, I don't show the dog. I haven't done any of that. And man, people love dogs. People want puppy real bad. People want puppy real bad. The reason I bring this up is because occasionally someone will go, I know you said no puppy cam, but what if you did puppy cam? What if there's a puppy, though? She's cute. I get it.
The dog is very cute. That's a cute dog. Here's the problem.
Show me the baby.
I'd be jealous. I'd be a little jealous that people want to see the dog more than me, which is why I have no one else.
The puppy cam?
That could take my place. Right. Yeah. I was like, no, I don't want anyone else. You're stuck with me. You will love me, and if you don't, well, that's all you're going to get. You're going to have to leave.
Right.
I don't want competition.
I have two thoughts on this, right? First yeah. thought on about puppy cam versus no puppy cam.
Oh, thank God. Okay.
Nothing to do with you. Nothing to do with you being jealous of a dog. thought number one is if at some point I'm like, I don't want to do puppy cam anymore, I'm going to have to deal with the pushback on that. So I figure if I just say no puppy cam from the get-go, I don't have to deal with that. And number two is currently, yeah, she's a sweet, smoopy baby and she sleep a lot and she's so cute and fluffy and she looks, she's so cute. She don't do nothing. She just sleep, you know? But in like a couple of months here, she's going to be trying to absolutely tear the house down. And I don't need, you know, basement veterinarians in my chat going, you really need to do this with your dog to curb that behavior. I'm
I don't want to do that. I don't want to live there, you know?
Let me just add something to this.
Yeah.
Give some people behind the scenes. I'm gonna let people in. I'm gonna open the curtain a little bit for people. Yesterday, every Thursday, we do a D&D session. Dodger and I are on a show over on twitch.tv/BrettUltimus. It's a great show.
Yes.
We're starting our newest season. Yesterday was supposed to be episode one. It is a 3-hour show, and we do, maybe an hour or so before suddenly Dodger vanishes and leaves an AFK thing and proceeds to be like, dog's freaking out. I don't know what's going on. This dog is freaking out. We had to end the show early. For no reason, because, you know, it was just a bad day. But I'm pretty sure that dog took the show down. I'm pretty sure Dodger's dog brought the whole show down.
I felt really bad. My kid has been having nosebleeds like every night. And this was the first night that the dog couldn't just like settle down. So the dog was barking. My kid had a nosebleed. I was like, guys, I'm so sorry. And I had to step away like 3 times before we ended the show. I felt awful. I felt so bad.
We've come back from the last season. We had a climactic battle. Characters have changed. We lost characters coming into this season. We got new characters coming into the season. And it was very clear that whatever Brett has set up for us, we all needed to be there. This episode was we left our ship, walked to a home, investigated the home, went to the basement, end of episode. We got nothing done.
There was also an issue where none of us were leveled up because Foundry was shit in the bed. It wasn't just me.
It was a perfect storm, but it was so funny because it was just like very clear that he needed all of us. And every time Dodger would go AFK, he'd be like, we're going to take a break and we'll come back when Dodger's back. And we literally did. I spent more time reading emails than I did playing the game yesterday.
I know. So, I'm sorry.
For those of you who are like, more dodge is what you mean.
Aww.
That's what you mean.
There are a lot of work. Puppies are a lot of work. I love her.
Yeah.
I love her. And I don't blame her for being a puppy, for doing puppy stuff. But yeah, they're a lot. Mm-hmm.
So don't be like, cute puppy. Make cute. If that dog was in the background, I guarantee there's going to be a moment where that dog is like, see that delightful Call to the Lamb thing back there? Gone. Destroyed.
I need to pick that up, to be honest.
dog will destroy that.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. So yeah, that was our D&D session yesterday.
Yeah.
For everyone who was like, wow, I didn't know you guys did D&D. I'd love to watch. Just go back to like season one. Don't start
this
there.
This is season four. This is season four and a lot of shit's happened. Mm-hmm. So yeah, go to season one. We play cops and nothing else. Nothing else happened. Yeah, we're cops.
How would you describe our show?
Our show is about a group of cops and criminals that join forces to try and take down a serial killer. That is the beginning framework. So.
Yep. Just cops.
We're just cops.
Yeah. And if you say to yourself, boy, what would the romantic tension between a elf dad and a vampire be? It'd be very high is what it would be.
Yeah. Yeah. It would be scintillating for the majority of viewers. Yes. Yeah. Cause I don't know what it is about Joe. Joe Fudge can play any character and people would be like, I'd kiss that though. It doesn't matter how old he makes them. It doesn't matter. They're just like, I want to kiss that.
But I don't want to kiss that, but there's still tension. I actively hate him, and I'm just, it's like every time the two characters are in a room together. Yeah, every time I'm in a room with him, I'm like, I hate your guts, and it's like, dude, they're gonna kiss. I'm like, what do you mean we're gonna kiss?
Where's that clip? That clip where that guy's like, I just want these two old men to kiss. It's that. It's that. That's the show. Anyway, Dead Beats. Yeah. Go watch it. YouTube.com/BrettUltimus, I think, or World of IO, or one of those.
It's the enemies to lovers trope. Oh, they're enemies. One is a serial killer vampire. And the other one let him out because he needs his help. That's it. There's nothing else going on there. Everyone's like, oh yeah, they're gonna do it. I'm like, no! I'm grieving. I'm like in grief over here. And they're like, but what if they made out right now? And I'm like, oh my God.
Jesse is saying all this as though he doesn't actively encourage it constantly.
Who, me?
Huh?
I definitely don't have a number one dad t-shirt on my character at all.
It's good. It's good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Are you doing
yes,
any? Sorry.
Oh, I was going to say we are Nero and Sid from 14. Yes, absolutely correct. That is the most apt description. Yes.
I was going to ask you. I love those old men. I found out that they're like my age, younger than me. It fucked me up. Anyways, they're old men to me. So
look, they have white hair.
Everyone in Final Fantasy has white hair. Look,
90% of the main characters have white hair. And it's like, I get that it's supposed to be a power thing. Like it's a cultural white hair power thing, but also just like, they're old. They're old, right? They're old. It's like, nope, 26. I'm like, how is there 26?
They are very old man coded. I'm sorry. Because I've said this before and people have been like, it's just because they've got white hair. No! Ystola has white hair.
Ystola's old though. She's been 23 for longer than any character can remember. Which is why I too am 23. I am Ystola'd.
Who knows? Who knows what anybody's age is in Final Fantasy? I know, yep. And I didn't want that information. So.
I know now because I remember being a kid and Cid Highwind from Final Fantasy VII being an old man.
Yeah.
And then looking up his official age and he's like 30 and being blown away by that. Like, stop. No, stop. Stop. Yeah, no.
I mean, when I played that game, I was in high school. So I was like 30, ancient. And now look at us. Look at us.
You know what?
What?
Looking better than ever. Last night, speaking of Octo, he was on stream and he showed a photo of himself with Naoki Yoshida because he was talking about Final Fantasy 14.
Right.
And he looks like such a goober. I love Octo. Octo's never looked better. He looks like such a goober boy in that photo. He does not look like him at all. I don't know who that child is that's with. And he's like, this is from 2015. And I was like, what happened? Like, the glow up is real, my dude.
Octo has aged so well, like wine.
Like a fine wine.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
absolutely crazy look. He looks like, I said, you look like Krendor, but with glasses. He's like, what do you mean? So I sent him the photo that exists. If you just look up Jesse Cox Krendor 2011, you will see a photo of us online where we literally look like babies. I have no beard. Krendor looks like a twig boy with glasses. We look like children. And that's from 2011, 13 years ago. And it's jarring. And if there's one thing I've learned, I've aged very well. Considering where I was to where I'm at, I'm doing great.
I wear less bracelets now.
You know what?
So
that's because they were weighing you down. You couldn't do as many fun moves. You're the moves you do when you do this.
That's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. How are we gonna do homework this week?
I will say everyone's homework for me. We can each do our own homework.
Okay.
My homework's pretty simple.
Okay.
Go watch the first two episodes of Star Wars Acolyte, if you can.
Okay.
And tell me if I'm crazy. That show has some wild editing. The show, it's a fine show. It's whatever. It's fine. It's like a mystery that's not really a mystery. It's like whatever.
Okay.
But the editing in that show is insane to me. The end of every episode, like, all right, Dodger.
Yes.
Say anything.
Anything.
Cut. Like, the last line of every episode is like, and then they will see the power of the dark side. Cut. Like, immediate cut to credits. And it's like, why did they do? Who edited this show? I have no problem with what the show is and like what the story is and all that stuff. But the editing is like real abrupt. It's very strange to me. I don't know what the, like, again, I feel like producer hat keeps coming on when I watch stuff, but the endings or like the editing is so crazy to me that I wasn't focused on anything else. I was like, why did they do that? What was the purpose of this? Like, I'm not going to make fun of this. It's like Star Wars. There's a lot of cool stuff in it, and there's a lot of stuff that sucks. It's Star Wars. It's been that way for at least 10 years now, if not longer. If you're a fan of, like, the Clone Wars series, we all know Star Wars has moments of greatness and moments of trash. It's just what it's been for a long time now. So if you watch it, fine. If you hate it, fine. I don't care. But I just want you to focus on the editing. Someone tell me I'm not wrong, because I feel like I'm going crazy. That I don't know who edited this show, but I'm like, what were the choices here? Why did we do this? What was? I'm obsessed with it. It's just like the OTK show. I feel like was there not a final watch through? There's no moment to let anything. The dude's like, and then the Jedi will know of our presence, or whatever the hell he says. Mm. And it's like, cool, you could have like a musical thing, and like, or like an evil musical thing, and like a slow fade or something. It goes cut. It's wild. And then it's like, bah, 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 bah. I'm like, what the hell? And it wasn't one episode. Both episodes that are out right now have the exact same ending. It's like, what the hell? I don't understand. I have no answers, and it's making me go crazy. But yeah. Mm. Other than that, avoid the internet, because people talking about it are bringing up like really weird shit where it's like, how come there's fire in space? That's stupid. It's like, pause. First off, it's always been stupid, but every Star Wars movie has had ships on fire in space.
It's true.
So like, why now are you upset? Let that go. Let it go. You're just looking for things to complain about. Shut up. It doesn't matter. It's whatever. The only thing that actually got me upset is it has the exact same, I don't want to say plot, but opening as executive decision. For those of you who don't know what that movie is, don't look it up, because it will spoil this show for you. I believe that movie is called Executive Decision. It's with Kurt Russell and, oh my God, who is the guy who's not Jean-Claude Van Damme? And now he lives in Russia and he's really weird.
I don't know.
Steven Seagal. Steven Seagal. It's Steven Seagal and Kurt Russell. And that movie was billed as the Steven Seagal Kurt Russell movie. And in the 90s, I was so hyped for that. I'm not going to spoil what the beginning of that movie is, but that is exactly what the beginning of this show is. And it made me go like, well, that's just mean. It's like, you can't do that. Other than that, that's really, it's fine. It's whatever. It's like, it's fine. But it's just like a weird vibe. But the show's not done. I have no idea what the show's going to be, but like, whatever. That's my homework. I just want people to watch the editing. Okay. I don't care if you like the show or not. Just go watch the editing so we can have a conversation about that, because I feel like I'm going crazy. Like, I'm just like, what were they thinking? What was the process here? That's my homework.
Mine is for specifically the people watching or listening right now that have never seen and don't know anything about Dune.
Did you finally watch Dune?
I watched the first.
Oh, wait. Yes, you did.
I watched Dune, going into it with the knowledge that there's a lot of sand and there are worms.
Hold on. Where did you send this to me? All right. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to let you in on the messages that I was sent.
Wait. But that ruins it. Mute. If
you've never seen Dune.
If you've never seen Dune, mute for like, I don't know, a minute.
Do you watch the second movie as well?
I fell asleep in it, so I have to rewatch it.
Oh my God. Okay. On the 1st of June, 11:57 a.m., finally watching Dune, and I responded, ooh. And Dodger sent, you telling me these psychic bitches just inbred for a while until Timmy popped out, and now they're mad about it? Also, imagine being born into a really rich society, but the catch is everyone has to be bald and color is banned. Anywho, I'm 30 minutes in, having a blast.
Ha, ha, ha!
I was irritated with everybody so quickly in that movie.
The only way I knew how to respond was to send an audio message of me going, That's all I knew how to respond with. I didn't know what else to say. That's what I said. And that's it. Yeah. That's Dune.
Yeah. Watch the first Dune with Timmy. I refuse to call him anything else. And if you are like me and you're like, I know that there's sand in Dune. I know Dune's about sand. And I know there are worms. I know there are worms eventually. And I know Timmy's sure. in that movie. Well, you know that now. You should just watch it. Go watch it. Go watch it with no context. Sam was like, oh, we have to watch Dune 2. And I was like, I never saw Dune 1. I don't even know what they're about. I have no context. So he let me just, he sat next to me and just experienced Dune 1 with me.
I love the two Dune movies they made. And exactly what happened to the books happened. I don't want to spoil Dune 2 to you, but let's just say when you get to the end of Dune 2, I want you to come back and revisit the thoughts you had about like what you liked or didn't like about the characters, because let me stress this to you. The Dune book, just like this movie, had so many people that didn't get the point that they literally, the man had to write another book to explain what Dune was actually about.
Okay.
And same thing with this. They're making a third movie to be like, hey, no, don't take that away from this. No, bad. Don't. So we'll leave it at that.
Interesting. Okay.
And it's crazy to me that that was the whole point, that they made another book, that even all these years later, after two movies, there's some people who walked away being like, yeah, yeah. And it's like, okay.
Yikes.
It somehow happened again. So yeah, I don't want to spoil it, but when you get to the end, hopefully you'll.
Yeah, I want to text you when we're done here. I'm going to text you a thing, because I have an idea of what I think people take away from it, and it doesn't wind up being that. Anyway, yeah. Hey guys, thanks so much for watching Geekenders with it was just me and Jessup goofing bad games. So I hope you enjoyed. Jesse, do you have any announcements to make before we take off?
Yeah, all I have to say is Dodger is Lisan Al Gaib, and I would follow Dodger anywhere.
Thanks, man.
Aww. And that's pretty much it. But yeah, later today, I will be watching and streaming the Game Fest. And then all weekend, I'll be playing video games at Playdays, and hopefully I'll have some stuff to report back. Other than that, you know, just hang in there, get ready for July, stick around for July. It's a month, and we're going to have some cool games, especially Gestalt will be coming out. So look forward to that.
Yeah.
And that's it. We do D&D, we hang out, we do cool stuff. I'm trying to get Octo to play Baladins with us.
Yes. Octo and Krendor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So hopefully good vibes. What do you have to promote?
Not really much of anything. I finally broke down and made a new Twitter.
I was about to say.
Which angers me. I was like, you know what? It's been 2 years now. I'm ready to just stay off of that shit until it dies, you know? But there are so many things. I get linked to stuff and it won't let me see it because I don't have an account. There's like all this. So I finally just made a new one. It's Shroom Bonus. If anybody would like to follow me on there. Yep.
What the hell? What does Shroom Bonus mean?
Well, originally it's Dex Bonus.
Well, I know.
But now I'm a mushroom on the weekdays. So it's Shroom Bonus. Mm-hmm.
I would have said.
Because I got kicked off of that website 2 years ago and no one will help me get on there. So I'm just stuck. I've been trying. 2 years, dude. I've been trying. My last tweet is something hilarious. Like, I'm going to try not to clog everybody's feeds too much anymore. Guess what? Nailed it. Absolutely crushed that shit.
That's really funny. That is a solid way to go out. If you never tweet it again, ever, that is the best way to leave.
Right?
Like, I'm just not going to clog feeds. And then that's it? Mwah, that's perfect. That's so good.
Yeah. So, anyways. Yep. That's me. Yeah, I'm not done with Nine Souls yet. I'll probably finish that at some point. But aside from that, I don't really know what I'm doing. A bunch of demos, most likely. So if you want to hang out for that, I'll be doing that next week. But
Yeah.
Nice. Thank you all so much for watching. I hope you have an amazing weekend. Really quickly.
For those of you who've been sending us fan art of this show, I just want you to know we definitely see it and we message it back and forth to each other. And it's so cute. And I cannot stress this enough. Thank you.
Yeah.
Because it's the cutest stuff I've ever seen in my entire life. You don't make like sexy Dodger, sexy Jesse, like fighting aliens. We get like goober monsters being goobers. And I'm like, this is super cute. So
it's adorable. There you go. Yeah. Thank you all much. We appreciate, I mean, you know, we haven't been doing this for super long yet and people are loving it and we love doing it. Yeah. So
thank you all much. Have an amazing week. We'll be back next Friday. Take care of yourselves and bye-bye. A-boo-boo-boo-boo.
Yeah, you know what time it is. It's time for the Geek Enders Podcast. Mega Ran, Jesse and Dodger, what up? Let's go.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow and see what the Geekenders are all about.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow. Number one geek podcast without a doubt. Yo, another end of another long week. Got a job and a kid, I know that you're all beat. So take a second, grab a drink and vibe while we catch you up in just a matter of time. On gaming, comics, whatever you're doing. If you're nerdy like us, then you know you should tune in. Thank you for sharing our world with us. Now follow, subscribe, and turn this up.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on, scream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow. Number one geek podcast without a doubt.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.